TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up at 7:20 this morning, a local high school principal made some comments about the dress code that's got some folks in an uproar this morning. We will tell you what was said and who is being upset about it. But right now, over on ESPCN, well, of course, we talked yesterday about them pulling Robert Lee, who is an Asian American, from their broadcast of the University of Virginia games. He was supposed to be one of the commentators on there, so they pulled him simply because his name was Robert Lee. Of course, you know, Robert E. Lee. And they took and they made that big jump there, even though the guy is clearly Asian American. So John Skipper, the president of ESPCN, posted an internal memo that was leaked. He sent this email out to the staff there at ESPN. And I want you to listen to the two different, he says two different things here all together. All right, let me read this to you. It says, I wanted to make sure you have the facts. There was never any concern by anyone at any level that Robert Lee's name would offend anyone watching the Charlottesville game. Among our Charlotte production staff, there was a question as to whether, in these divisive times, Robert's assignment might create a distraction or, even worse, expose him to social hectoring and trolling. Since Robert was their primary concern, they consulted with him directly. He expressed some personal trepidation about the assignment and, when offered the chance to do the Youngstown Pitt game, opted for that game, in part because he lives in Albany and he would be able to get to his family on Saturday evening. So, saying two things right there. Remember, there was never any concern at any level. And then he goes on to say that there was a concern at a lot of different levels. That, of course, the doublespeak from John Skipper, president of ESPN. But here's what I think we are missing on this thing. Everybody got all upset about this yesterday, including myself. But then sometimes you got to sit back and got to say, wait a minute. Who are they really worried about in this thing? Are they worried about a bunch of right-wingers? No. They're worried about the wacko lefties out there. They're worried about the people that are running around right now calling for all of these monuments to be pulled down. They're worried about the Antifa movement. They're worried about Black Lives Matter. They are worried about, you know, the new Black Panther Party trolling this guy simply because of his name. They are concerned about the left. They are extremely worried that these people will, quote, engage in hectoring or even trolling. So ESPN was according, again, to John Skipper, president of ESPCN, they were worried about the reaction of the folks on the left and their treatment of Robert Lee. They weren't worried about you. They weren't worried about me because they know darn good and well you and I would have been, First of all, we probably wouldn't watch that game anyway. It wasn't going to be a good one. So, they were worried about the left. Well, then just come out and say that, John Skipper. Listen, we're worried about these wackos out there that might actually get out there and troll Robert Lee. And who would do that? It wouldn't be you. It wouldn't be, certainly wouldn't be the folks on the right. They are concerned about the people on the left. That's why I'm, you know, in some ways I'm like, all right, this is, the insanity has reached maximum density right now. They are at full bore crazy. I hope they go further. I really do. Because this is just exposing to everybody in this country exactly the way the left thinks. And now even ESPN is afraid of the left because of their tactics of trolling people. And they were concerned about Robert Lee. But not because of anything that you and I were doing, not because of white nationalists, not because of the KKK, not because of Republicans, not because of conservatives. They were concerned because of what the left might do. That was their concern. We got Corey out in Somerville. Corey, what do you think about this ESPN thing?
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
I honestly am tired of ESPN getting political.
Yeah.
The average person that's going to watch college football, frankly, isn't even going to know the name of the guy calling the game.
Right. That, you're exactly right.
We're not going to be trolling him because his name's Robert Lee. We're there to watch a football game, and this is honestly why I gave up on ESPN a long time ago. When I go to sports, I'm going to escape politics.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. But you're right, Corey. We're not, the folks on the right, you and me, we're not going to be trolling Robert Lee. They were afraid of what
the
left was going to do.
The left that are there to watch football are going to be trolling him. That's not the point of it. It's to watch sports.
Right. Oh, I agree. Now, that's for you and me, but you can't use the same rationale that you and I watch sports with you can't compare that with why the left watches sports. Had somebody come across that game, they're in a bar or whatever, and they see that this guy's name was Robert Lee, they were more concerned about that. But you're right, Corey. We don't watch it for politics.
But I would say ESPN's contributed to the problem with making Kaepernick popular and all politics they put in the NFL and college football last season.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right, Corey. They need to get out of politics. I appreciate you calling in.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
You ever say something, and pretty much the moment it comes out of your mouth, you go, uh-oh, probably shouldn't have said that. Well, a local principal is probably feeling that this morning. Heather Taylor, the principal at Stratford High School, had some comments yesterday about the dress code. And some folks there are telling our news partner News 2 that this happened during a meeting focusing on the appropriate attire for school. The controversy comes from what Principal Heather Taylor had to say about girls wearing leggings to school. A lot of people, remember, whenever you have a get-together, somebody is videotaping. Somebody is videotaping something. They're recording it, all right? So in one of these recordings, or several of these recordings, Ms. Taylor can be heard to say, I'm going to tell you now, unless you are a size 0 or 2 and you wear something like that, you look fat. Of course, that's talking about leggings. Now, parents and students are speaking out right now. One sophomore at Stratford said, I'm not a size 0, and I kind of felt targeted because of my size. Oh, the shame. Let's go to Helen. She's in Ladson. Helen, how are you?
I'm good. I just want to mention about Stratford. This is not the first year my child's a senior.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first year that she has given this speech. She gives this speech every year, and she did say there will be hell to pay when they get their speech from her today. This principal is known for this. So this is
Wait. What was meant by hell to pay when they get their speech
because
today?
She'll be loud at them. She'll kind of reprimand them for people complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's already said if parents have an issue, you know, they just need to call and take it up with her. But it's not the first time she's given the speech.
So, what do you think about comments like that, about a principal saying, listen, if you wear this, you look fat?
Well, I think it's not a very good thing to say, but again, this isn't the first time she said it.
Right.
And she's known for crude remarks. I happen to have, you know, a child that, you know, just doesn't wear them.
Yeah.
And I think she could have handled it differently, but it's the same speech.
I think she could have said the same thing without those words and without being quite so divisive and and abrasive, I would imagine.
Exactly. But it is the same one. My child said that this, you know, this will be her fourth year hearing the speech.
Wow. That's amazing.
So it's not new.
Well, a lot of people are very upset about it because this is the first year they're hearing this speech. So,
exactly.
Helen, I appreciate you calling in. But I've said before, whenever you have a dress code in a school or a business or what have you, the gender that is going to most likely violate that dress code is going to be the young ladies.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 7:40, 20 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. This morning, just flying by. All right, we got Republican State Representative Katie Arrington of Somerville announcing her run for Congress against Mark Sanford. She's getting ready to be the pro-President Donald Trump alternative, it seems, to Mark Sanford. This is according from the Post and Courier. Arrington's intent is outlined in an email making the rounds with the Lowcountry Republicans, in which he asked them to save August 30th for a 10 a.m. kickoff in Somerville. She'll announce the site later. She says, "I do not take running for this office lightly, and it will be an uphill battle for me, but one I feel compelled to do for our community and our country." Now, Mark Sanford, as we know, has never been really on board with President Trump and his policies. In fact, the other day he said that Trump's plans have a half-life. Yeah, he said he's made a fair number of threats to him. He said he'd block transgender people from serving in the military. He hasn't yet. This is quoting Mark Sanford. He said he'd shred NAFTA. He hasn't yet. He said he'd take us out of Afghanistan, and he's doing the opposite. Sanford went on to say, he seems to get distracted. His promises seem to have a half-life. Well, you know, we don't have a dictator here in this country. We have a leader of the executive branch of government who can't really do a lot of things without the approval of Congress in the House and the Senate. So, Mr. Sanford, I think if you're worried about the president's initiatives and his plans and his promises being implemented, then you need to get on board with what the president is trying to do, because right now I think he's fighting more Republicans in the House and the Senate than he is Democrats. So we will see what happens with Katie Arrington as she tries to mount a campaign against Mark Sanford. And again, is she being the pro-Trump candidate going to be able to make inroads here in South Carolina against a very strong incumbent in the 1st Congressional District here in South Carolina? So that is going to remain to be seen. We're going to have her on the show just as soon as we can possibly get her on. Of course, we always invite the congressman to come on and talk about these things. But Congressman Sanford was actually responding to whether or not he felt that President Trump was going to be going after him because of, we'll say, his lacking of support of the president. And, of course, President Trump speaking out against Senator John McCain and Jeff Flake at that rally in Arizona on Tuesday night. And so Mark Sanford says he's kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude about whether or not the president is going to be coming after him. Well, if he did it to Jeff Flake and he did it to John McCain, I don't see why Mark Sanford would think he would be immune to any criticism from the president, because certainly, but are you going after the president? Are you going after the president and then just sitting back and expecting the president not to come after you? I mean, come on. Weren't you watching during the campaign when somebody would hit out at Trump, he would hit back harder? So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with this, because it's going to be a very interesting. Oh, and we are gearing up. I mean, it is August 24th, 2017. We got the 2018 elections not far away, and we're going to be hearing a lot more from a lot of candidates, and some of those are going to be some of our local candidates here in Charleston. Looks like all six city council members are going to be running again. They want you to send them back to office for another four-year term. Most of the incumbents are facing challengers. Let's see, let's run down a couple of these. City council, this is what the ballot looks like right now. City Council District 2, Rodney Williams is going up against Kevin Sheely. Over in 4, Robert Mitchell looks like he's running unopposed. District 6, Amy Brennan, Fran Claspe, William Dudley Gregory, who is the incumbent, are going to be on that ballot. City Council 8, Mike Seekings is unopposed right now. City Council District 10, I think the filing's already been done. Harry Joseph Griffin, Summer Massey, and Dean Regal, who is the incumbent, are on that ballot. District 12, Carol Jackson, Kathleen Wilson, who is the incumbent, and the Commissioner of Public Works, Thomas Pritchard, who was first elected back in 1999, looks like he's running unopposed. So we're going to have a very busy campaign season coming up. And, of course, yesterday, Mayor Linda Page officially kicking off her reelection campaign. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And she is being opposed right now by Will Haney. So we'll get some comments from those folks. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Have we completely lost our minds in this country? Coming up about 8:10 this morning, I'm going to be going over that with Brady Quirk Garvin. He is the chairman of the Charleston County Democrat Party. And where are we right now? Why is everybody just, and right now I'm just seeing that it just seems like a lot of people are trying to be the loudest. The voices are getting louder and louder and louder, and now it's even entering into sports. We saw that with ESPN and what they did with that guy, Robert Lee. Now everybody is calling for Colin Kaepernick to get a job. They demand him to get a job. They were outside the headquarters of the NFL screaming that Colin Kaepernick be given a job. He has to be given a job. Now, understand this. Understand this. They want him to be given a job, even though this guy, his stats are better than most of the large number of NFL quarterbacks, and certainly better than any of. So we got to give him a job. You're not given jobs in this country. They don't just give them to you. They don't hand them out. You have to do something to go in and earn them. And what a lot of people don't understand, the NFL is a business, all right? And these teams are a business. And if you've got somebody on your team that is going to hurt your business, then you need to do away with those people. They need to go bye-bye. And the amount of attention that Colin Kaepernick put upon himself, and a lot of these players now in the NFL, that these players that are putting all of this attention on themselves and taking it away from the team, that is detrimental to that team's business model. All right? Understand, in the NFL, your job is not to play football. NFL teams are not there to play football. They are there to sell tickets for you to go to those games. They are there to generate enough interest where they will get television revenue and have all of these people tuning in and watching on television so they can get the highest ratings and they can get a bigger and bigger share of the advertising dollars. Also, the marketing, the merchandising, the sales of whatever, the little banners, the jerseys, all of the officially licensed products that go along with it. It is a business. And if you've got a guy out there that's going to hurt your business, I don't care who they are, and they're not doing your business any good, they're not having a positive impact on your business or on your team, then you got to let them go. Why is nobody out there screaming for Johnny Manziel to have a job? Why is that? Why is nobody screaming for Johnny Football to have a job in the NFL? Because Johnny Manziel was a detriment to every team that he was a part of. He was a detriment to Texas A&M. Yeah, he won the Heisman Trophy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. However, he was a detriment once he got in the NFL because of his behavior. People didn't like him. And I'm sorry, Colin Kaepernick, your actions caused people not to like you. In fact, they caused people to tune out of your games. Well, I was a San Francisco 49er fan until Colin Kaepernick decided to show his butt. That means you've got another viewer gone. You've got another seat that goes unsold. It's a business. But the people on the left, these lefties out there, they want people to be given jobs just because. Well, he can assert his First Amendment rights. He can do it all day long at home in his recliner. But once you get to work, you work for that company, period.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 12 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Coming up at 8:40 this morning, going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Bojangles Southern 500. Be looking out for that. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. It is getting so loud out there with all the political rhetoric that is going on. Of course, we were talking this morning about Robert Lee being pulled off of ESPN in the coverage of the University of Virginia football games. It's just, like I said, it's just getting loud, and it seems like people are just shouting at each other right now, and nobody is actually sitting back and listening to each other. So we always find it refreshing when folks that oppose each other politically, just politically, can actually have a conversation. Let's go to the phones now and talk to Brady Quirk Garvin. He is the chairman of the Charleston County Democrat Party. Good morning, Brady. How are you?
I'm doing great, Charlie. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, buddy. So what do we have to do to stop all of this shouting back and forth, Brady? It's just getting louder and louder and louder, and nobody's listening.
It really is. And you know, I think the person that can figure that out will be able to emerge as a real leader for America, not, you know, one party over another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there is a reality that we're grappling with some tough and difficult decisions now. You know, I think we reach points in our history when, you know, we have to deal with issues that are heated and it's going to get loud. But I think you're right that what we need to do, you know, is make sure that people are actually listening and not just screaming and then not hearing what the response is.
Now, we're hearing a lot of people on both sides. I mean, the we'll call them the alt-right and the alt-left, yelling back and forth at each other. But what about us folks here in the middle? We talked to you last time about the folks on the space bar on your
right.
Keyboard. You've got the alt tab on the left and the alt tab on the right. But what about the folks there in the space bar, the folks that are going to work with each other every single day? The us normal people, we don't seem to be really getting involved in all of this high-intensity rhetoric.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the things that's clear is that people on both sides are very loud and vocal, and that's what you'd expect. But those who are interested in actual solutions, those who are interested in working together, need to speak up now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the things that's clear is that, you know, both sides have often talked about what the silent majority is, and people who are in the middle that really don't necessarily speak up. I think now at this critical point in our history, now is the time for people who are in the middle and want some actual solutions to step up and say so. Because I think what gets lost is when it's just yelling back and forth, no one looks to solutions. Each side mm-hmm. just digs themselves in further, and that's not really helpful. We know that you know, that just sort of creates more a bogged down government. Things don't happen. And what we need is really a breakthrough leader. And at the moment, it doesn't seem like, you know, there's anyone in Washington or nationally who's able to do that. They just are continuing to dig in on each side.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the, of course, we know, and I'll be the first to admit, that these white nationalists out there that are screaming and yelling, the KKK, they do not represent the average Republican, the average conservative in their ideology. Would you be willing to say that the folks on the alt-left and some of these Antifa movements, the people in the Antifa movement, they don't represent the average everyday Democrat?
Sure. I think, you know, again, as we've talked about before, I think most people, their concern, their daily concern is they're getting up, trying to go to work, make sure they can pay their bills and things like that. I think for your average Democratic voter, the difference between them and your average Republican is at the end of the day, they want to expand opportunities and liberties for people, and they want to protect and make sure there's a safety net for when people need a helping hand. You know, I think those are the differences sort of between the parties. But I think when you get people who want and advocate violence on either side, you know, obviously that's not a positive.
When you talk about expanding liberties, you have to, of course, bring up the First Amendment and freedom of speech. There's a lot of rhetoric now about, is hate speech protected and what is hate speech? I believe that no matter who you are, you have a right to say what you think in this country. And just because it's labeled hate speech, I don't believe you should be silenced. We've seen a lot of things out at Berkeley, you know, trying to shut down conservative speakers out at Berkeley and other places. While we may not like somebody's speech, you have to give them the props that they've got the First Amendment right to say what they feel, as long as they're not advocating imminent violence, right?
Well, I think that's a really good point, and I think there's an important distinction here between everyone has under the First Amendment the right to say what they choose, and that's critical, that's very important, that's why it's the First Amendment. But what the difference is that institutions and organizations don't have to provide a platform for people to espouse views that they don't agree with. So just because everyone has the right to say something doesn't mean that a college or a civic group has to provide them that platform. So just to take an example, if someone from a neo-Nazi group wanted to come speak at a Rotary Club, mm-hmm. the Rotary Club would be in their absolute right to say, no, that is not someone who aligns with us. We don't want them to come and speak. So while that person would have the right to stand on the sidewalk and shout what they wanted, a group and an organization doesn't have to provide them that platform. So I think sometimes we conflate the two, and they are different. So I think it's important that whether a school determines that this is the right speaker or not, that's their right to do, just as it's the right of someone who's an extremist to yell whatever they want. They have that First Amendment right.
But don't we start going down a slippery slope when we start limiting who can speak on at certain places? I mean, right now we're seeing folks out at, I think it's GoDaddy. They're limiting at least this one website. Obviously, right. A hideous, horrible website. Aren't we on a slippery slope when we start making decisions about who can have a website on your ISP provider and who can't?
You know, it's funny, Charlie, because this is one time where I feel like all of a sudden, you know, Republicans and conservatives who typically don't want the government involved in private business all of a sudden get shocked and maybe want that. I think GoDaddy is in their right to serve or not serve a Nazi website if they choose, and they have chosen, no, that is not something we want to provide. And so I think they are in their right to do that, and I applaud them for that. I think one of the things that we know is that not only do Nazis and KKK members have the right to free speech, but you know, people that don't believe that have their right to free speech and saying, I'm not going to amplify this message. I'm not going to enhance it and broadcast it out to the world.
But then don't we see folks like the baker who didn't want to provide a cake for the same-sex couple? Same thing, different?
No, I think it's different because one is something that's a you know, legally protected, you know, same-sex marriage is the law of the land, and that's just providing equal service. One is choosing to amplify a message of hate and violence, and I think those are very, very different.
Well, I believe we are going down a very slippery slope, right? I think. Do you think we're at a turning point right now in this country as far as freedom of speech is concerned, and who can say what? I mean, we are in a very tumultuous time right now. What's going to come out of this?
Well, and I think, to be honest, I think we are at a turning point, but I think it's bigger than freedom of speech, too. I think we're at a turning point in our country where we're dealing much like happened in the 60s with civil rights. I think we're at another inflection point where we're trying to grasp and handle how do we talk about our shared history, both the good and the bad? How do we deal with our feelings? How do we deal with political correctness in this world? And I do think that we're at a tipping point and a changing point. And I don't think that's anything that'll be solved, you know, today or tomorrow. But I do think that when we look back 10, 20 years from now, we will look at this time, the last year and the next couple of years as sort of a tipping point where the country was hashing out some real tough decisions. And I'm hopeful that when we come out of that time, you know, that we have some real leaders who are able to help move us forward.
Do you think ESPN was right in pulling Robert Lee from the Virginia broadcast?
No, that seems like a gross overreaction.
We can agree on that. We can agree on that, Brady. All right, buddy. I appreciate you calling in. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Brady Cork Garvin on with us, the chairman of the Charleston County Democrat Party.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. Just a couple of minutes until the news break at the bottom of the hour with Sherry Bernardi. Don't forget, coming up at 8:40 this morning, we're going to be giving you a chance to win tickets to the Bojangles Southern 500. Hillary Clinton's got a new book out, and I got an email here. Let me read it from you. From Scott, says, "Dear Charlie, yesterday I heard some rather silly and ridiculous excerpts from Hillary's upcoming book. I'm sure the late night host had a field day with this. Could you please play some of their clips?" Well, ironically, the late night host didn't seem to talk about it all that much last night. I do have a little excerpt from the audio book from Hillary Clinton. This is interesting. I got about a minute of it here. Let's, if we can stomach that.
"It was the second presidential debate, and Donald Trump was looming behind me. 2 days before, the world heard him brag about groping women. Now we were on a small stage, and no matter where I walked, he followed me closely, staring at me, making faces. It was incredibly uncomfortable."
Now, I narrate audiobooks on occasion. I think I've done about 15 of them now. Had I submitted an audition for an audiobook like that, it would have been rejected in a heartbeat. So Donald Trump, according to Hillary, was looming behind her, looming behind her. Do we remember the presidential debate between Al Gore and George Bush back in 2000? Do you remember that presidential town hall debate when Al Gore got uncomfortably close to George W. Bush? And I mean uncomfortably close to the point where George Bush had to turn around at one time and said, you know, kind of the look on his face was like, dude, what do you, back off. Do we remember that? I don't remember George Bush whining about that in his book.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 8:40 on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. All right, it's time. We got some Darlington trivia for you. Now, we're going to take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. Going to ask you a little Darlington trivia question. Our winner today is going to get a pair of Xfinity race tickets at Darlington for the September the 2nd race, and you're going to be qualified to win a family experience prize pack that includes 4-pack to qualifying, the Xfinity race, the pre-race concert, the Bojangles Southern 500, plus you're going to get tailgate meals from Bojangles. Caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. You will have the opportunity to, and it's multiple choice today. Give you a little chance here to win this great prize pack. 556-1250. Let us know, and we'll get to caller number 7, ask you the question, and see if you know. Good morning. Who is this?
This is James.
All right, James, got a little Darlington trivia question for you. Back in 1965, Ned Jarrett won the Southern 500, and he won it by a pretty spectacular margin. Did he win it by 5 laps, 9 laps, 14 laps, or 20 laps?
5 laps.
Not 5 laps. Good guess, though. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Hey, who's this?
Chief.
All right, buddy. 1965, Ned Jarrett won the Southern 500. Was it by 5 laps, 9 laps, 14 laps, or 20 laps?
It was 2 laps.
Nope, not 2 laps. Appreciate it. Good morning. Who is this?
It's Mike.
All right, Mike. Ned Jarrett won in 1965 by 5, 9, 14, or 20 laps?
14
laps. You are exactly right. Good job, buddy. Yeah, then to this day, that remains the largest margin of victory. Now, at Darlington, they've got the distinction of having the largest margin of victory. That was Ned Jarrett, 1965, 14 laps. And the smallest margin of victory, which was 0.002 seconds. I was there at that race. I saw that happen. Ricky Craven. All right, congratulations, man. You just won yourself a pair of Xfinity race tickets at Darlington, and now you're qualified for that big old Bojangles Southern 500 prize pack. How about that?
That's awesome.
All right, man.
Charlie.
All right, appreciate it, buddy. I'm going to put you on hold, and John Quincy is going to get some information from you. Yeah, man, I was there at that race when Ricky Craven, I believe it was Ricky, the one. I know he was involved. It was 0.002 seconds. That was an amazing race. I think that was my second Darlington race I went to. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up, going to be talking a little bit more about Colin Kaepernick and why everybody is screaming about getting Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. Well, we told you a little while ago about exactly why some teams really don't want kids. Really, do you think it was because Kaepernick is African-American? Do you really think that's the reason that these teams don't want him? I mean, how many African-Americans are in the NFL? So obviously racism has nothing to do with it. It's got a lot to do with his behavior on the field. That's what it's got to do with. And it's got to do with the fact that what he does in taking the knee and all of that, and the fact that he may have had great stats, but he wasn't a consistent performer with the 49ers. And now people just don't want him. Sorry, that's the way it goes. Hey, look at one Tim Tebow. Look at Tim Tebow and what he did when he was with the Denver Broncos. He put up some pretty impressive stats there for a couple of games, but yet he's not in the NFL. I don't see people out there screaming for Tim Tebow to win a spot.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's about 8 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. On your Thursday, as I call it, Friday's slightly less attractive sister. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. I have something to let you know this morning. I know you've been wondering about it, and we finally have confirmation. You are scum. That's right. You are scum. In fact, not only are you scum, you are racist scum if you support President Donald Trump. Now, this isn't me saying this. This is a university professor. In fact, it's a little closer to home than that. It's a Clemson University professor. This guy, Park Kinyonberg, I don't even know how they pronounce it. Kinyon has got a lot of vowels in it, man. Clemson University professor has declared all Republicans and supporters of Donald Trump to be nothing less than racist scum. He also called for political violence against white supremacy. Bart Kinyonberg, an assistant professor in human-centered computing, whatever that means, for Clemson University, expressed his hatred toward Republicans and doubled down when others on his Facebook timeline asked him to clarify his statements, which have since been hidden. Now, this report was published yesterday. Campus Reform got some screenshots of his tirade before he, much like a cockroach, scurried off into the darkness once the light was shined upon him and made his Facebook account private. So, somebody asked him, "All Republicans?" He said, "Your complacency made this happen. Pick a side, denounce your affiliation, or admit you are a racist." He said, "I haven't seen any Republicans renounce their political affiliation yet. In fact, all of them fell in line with Trump once he became president. They selectively criticize him when it is politically convenient to do so, but they don't make any actual sustained actions." He told anyone who doubts his claim that all Republicans are racist to come live in the South for a while. He added that his belief that the GOP's views are inherently racist. Inherently racist. You are a member of the Republican Party, and you are inherently racist. You inherited that from your ancestors and all of those who have gone before you. 1950. Democrats passed the Fugitive Slave Law. If you were merely accused of being a slave, you lost the right to representation by an attorney. 1854, Democrats passed the Kansas-Nebraska Act, allowing for the importation of slaves into the territory. 1865, the 13th Amendment, emancipating the slaves, was passed with 100% Republicans voting for it, and only 23% of Democrats. 1867, blacks founded the Texas Republican Party. Republican Party. 1868, the 14th Amendment was passed, giving the newly emancipated blacks full civil rights and a federal guarantee of those rights. superseding any state law. Every single Republican voted for the 14th Amendment. Not a single Democrat voted for it. 1870, when Southern states balked at implementing the 14th Amendment, Congress came back and passed the 15th Amendment, guaranteeing blacks the right to vote. Every single Republican voted for it, with every Democrat voting against it. 1872, Democrats admitted starting the KKK as an effort to stop the spread of the Republican Party and to reestablish Democratic control in Southern states. 1870 to 1875, the Republican Congress passed many pro-black civil rights laws. But in 1874, Democrats took control of the House. No further race-based civil rights laws were passed until 1957. 1892, Democrats gained control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. They repealed all the Republican-passed civil rights laws that enabled the Southern Democrats to pass the Jim Crow laws, poll taxes, literacy test, and so on. 1960s. Only 64% of Democrats in Congress voted for the 1964 Civil Rights Act. 80% of the Republicans voted for it. So, Mr. Kierkegaard at Clemson University, which party now, sir, with all of your working on your PhD intelligence, which party do you think is actually inherently racist? And then they want us to believe that at some time during the 60s and 70s, the parties just switched sides. I got an idea. I guess they all went out to lunch. Which one of y'all wants to switch sides? Y'all come on over here, and we'll go on over there. And we'll just switch all of our beliefs right here and now. From now on, y'all are the racist party, and we are the anti-racist party. It didn't happen. It did not happen. This has been a lie that's been perpetrated for the past several decades now. The Democrat Party is the party of Jim Crow laws. They're the party of the KKK. They're the party that voted against the Civil Rights Act. But yet they want you to believe otherwise. Nancy Pelosi's father dedicated memorials to Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee in Baltimore, where he was the mayor, and said that they were heroes protecting a great institution. What do you think that institution was? Slavery. Slavery. Let's go to Jesse. Jesse's out in Somerville. Jesse wants to talk about this. Jesse, you're on. What's up?
Hey, Charlie. It's Jesse. How are you?
Hey, Jesse. What's up?
Hey, you should post that list onto the Facebook page.
Yeah, I mean it's unbelievable that this guy, this Clemson University professor, says that Republicans are inherently racist when the facts and the evidence prove completely contrary to what he's talking about.
Unfortunately, it is believable. These people are delusional.
Yeah,
anything it takes to write the narrative differently than what the facts state.
Right, you're exactly right, Jesse. I appreciate it. I want to hear Nancy Pelosi come along and denounce her father. That's why I would like to see that happen today. Her dad was the one that dedicated those monuments, those statues in Baltimore to Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. They were great heroes preserving a great institution. Really? Well, that institution was slavery. So, Nancy, let's hear you get on the air today. Let's hear you, with one of your many great press conferences, let's hear you renounce your father today. Let's hear you renounce your racist father.